The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today, believe it or not, is the 27th of May, 2016, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong, Dr. Wong's Essentials. That's www.docspreferred.com. Also, too, Steven Santangelo's Unleash Your Strength Through Relentless Metabolic Endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. Go out to Primal Creations at AOL.com, Facebook, STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO, period, 75. Also, too, Atomic Athletic, Roger LaPointe, who's on here normally every week, and we're going to get him back on, but right now things have been quite hectic here. But he's running right now a sale on his Bull Moose Rotating Thick Bar. This is a 2-inch bar, regular, $329. Right now you can get it for $269, and obviously it rotates, so you're not using, like the Apollon, I got it here. If you had a torn bicep, sometimes it's nice to have something that rotates and you still got something thick to use. The length of this bar is 84 7/16. It weighs approximately 58 pounds. So go out to atomicathletic.com, order up a bar and tell Roger that Motivation Muscle sent you. Also, too, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. This is on Fiorello Barbell Co. This is a free ebook. Download it, commit, take action. Strength times power equals success. The Winner's Circle, they're both out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. As I sit in my office looking out my laboratory, which will be my garage and driveway, that's where we do everything. Nobody writes our content, and everything you see here is by real lifters. It's not by models giving you 90 days and you'll be all set. No bullshit here, man. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Check them both out. Make some changes in your life. There's nothing wrong with that. And remember, if you need any help, I'm more than willing to do that with you. Well, today we have a good friend of the show who has not been on in a while, and it really sucks because we always have funny shows. Start talking about testosterone, which I know on the upcoming shows we got to get back into that because, as you know, Dr. Wong and I did a show that was I don't know, man. Some people might want it censored. It was rough, man. And he's such a passionate guy. And we were talking a lot about that again and some other things that really freaks him out, man. But I got to put it up this weekend. The show was outstanding. And it always goes back to manliness and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We got Logan Christopher here with us today, and I'm so glad he's back with us. I'm going to give you a little information on this gentleman. Number one. He is a strong man. He's a writer. He is the owner with his brothers of Superman Herbs, and his baby is Legendary Strength. He's done a lot of different things, and that's what I like about him. Very well-rounded lifter. He really's got his shit straight in his head. And, you know, we're going to talk about something that I just talked to a buddy of mine that doesn't want to be in the gym that he's at anymore. He's had enough of the powerlifting scene, and we'll get into some specifics. I'm sure Logan's had the same thing. I had one where it was so bad we were escorted out by the police. So I know the feeling of what happened. So we're going to talk about that, when that happens, and is it time to start a home gym, or are you going to go find somewhere? And gyms are very hard to find that are hardcore. So, Logan, welcome back, brother. Good to have you back.
Yeah, good to be back. It's been way too long.
Hell yeah, man. Anything I missed bio-wise, obviously give the websites. And I know you've made some changes in Superman Herbs, and give that information. And we'll get started, if you would, please.
Yeah, you mentioned Legendary Strength, got all kinds of books. I'm a pretty prolific writer. Surprises a lot of people how many different books I have, but I enjoy writing, something I do every day. All kinds of stuff. covering the gamut of different types of strength, fitness, health, mental training, all that kind of thing. And then over at supermanherbs.com, that's a herbal store where we have all kinds of like Chinese and Ayurvedic herbs and Western herbs as well. A lot of stuff based around that hormonal support, the testosterone you're talking about, as well as like energy, pre-workout, post-workout formulas, different stuff to enhance athletic prowess. So we got lots of fun things there, always working on some new stuff. And right now, one of our big projects, we're going through a bit of a rebranding because there's actually a trademark issue around Superman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we didn't get a cease or desist or anything like that, but it seems like it would be going in that direction, so we're being a little bit proactive, and we don't quite have the funds to go up against DC Comics, so we just figure that's the right move to do at this point. But along with that, we also have like a website redesign, so I know a lot of people have commented our website looks a little bit 90s-ish. That's extent of my website design skills, so I've hired out a team that is putting that together. We're putting some of the finishing touches on that along with the rebranding, hoping to launch that maybe July or August if things go smoothly enough. Then that should be really exciting because it's not just prettier, it will actually be more functional as well.
Cool. I know you probably can't comment. Is the name been drastically changed?
It is a bit different. I'll keep that under wraps.
For now. But I figured I just wanted to ask you that because
We went through a lot of names, looking for a word and actual like .com was available. Yep. There wouldn't be other trademark issues. It took some effort to find something that we're happy with. Hopefully people like it once they hear it and see the story behind it too.
Well, and the thing is, anyways, even with Superman Herbs, that should redirect to the new site anyway, so you'll
we'll
be
definitely
fine.
Be doing all the things needed for that.
Yep. Well, I was telling Logan, I can sympathize totally with that because I was telling him, and people have been listening here lately, know some of the dilemmas I've been dealing with shit. And I'll say this again. I said it to Logan. I told him what happened. I'm not getting into that because that starts pissing me off the more and more I talk about. But I'll tell everybody this. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, if you're going to get away from the brick and mortar and you're going to do basically a virtual business here on the internet, be very careful who you hire. And here's the thing. When you go and register the names and you're going to look out and you're going to have a DNS where all your stuff's going to point to, and maybe for some people they're scratching their head and saying, what the hell's that? I'm not going to get into all that stuff right now. Here's what I want to tell you. Make sure you have ownership of the name of your business or businesses, and make sure you insist, whether it's help from your internet guy or gal, that you are in on all that. And literally, I think you should physically do it with whatever hosting company you're going with, because if you don't, I'm going to tell you right now, it can be in the wrong hands and you'll never know it, and you could start becoming very profitable. And guess what? You don't have a leg to stand on if it's under that host name, meaning your internet person or persons doing it. And we're going to go into a bunch of stuff down the road. There's a couple other people that really want to get in about this and talk about some of the horror stories. I think it'd be very good if something that all of our friends and family should learn here, because and Logan and I have talked about this. I'm a big pusher of entrepreneurship. I think it's the greatest thing, whether you're starving for a year, 5 years, eventually you're going to get traction and hit and you're going to be all right. But be very careful of these things because you never know what the other end is you're dealing with. So I'll leave it at that. Logan, you got anything else? I mean, did you give websites and all that stuff out?
Yeah, that's at Superman Herbs. Okay. And I guess I'll just mention we just this week released a topical oil that's a blend of different herbs as well as CBD. People know about that it's a little bit different than our previous offerings, and that's great if you got sore joints or muscles. I definitely would recommend trying that out. I've been enjoying, not that I have all that much soreness, the way I train, try to avoid having painful joints and that sort of thing, but it's good to have stuff like that as sort of a backup or to just help deliver that nutrition topically to an area where you want it.
Well, you know what, I'd be tempted, I'm gonna talk to your brother about that. I think I'd be real tempted to bring that out with me when I was training.
Yeah.
and I'd rub it on in between sets because what I find is there's a I buy any type of liniment or anything like that.
It's very similar to a liniment except a more oil-based.
Yeah, so it's gonna penetrate the body better. But you know what I've been doing? I don't use it. The only thing that I use is DMSO as a carrier. Mm-hmm. I buy it there too. I go and buy all equine liniment. Mm-hmm. That's what I buy. And people are like, "You're rubbing horse liniment on you." I said, "Yeah, you want something that's gonna work? If you go to the store and buy that crap, man, it doesn't work, any of that stuff, man. It's expensive, and you're paying for the marketing of it." And they're like, "Really?" I was like, "Yeah, go down and buy some of that and tell me how you feel." Now, what I've been doing with that, they make a spray, and they also make, obviously, like a gel type. There's multiple ones, mm-hmm. all right? I love it. It's in the spray bottle, man. And, like, last night when I was working out in between sets – and it's been murderous hot here, and they're talking, low 90s, and the humidity here is like off the rail right now. I mean, it's really uncomfortable. And last night you'd be putting that stuff on. I mean, it's just coming off you like water. But I didn't care. You know what I mean? It feels good, I find like today, I don't know, I went pretty rough last night. We'll see how tomorrow feels. And I've got a lot of stuff because I'm going to be bending and kneeling because I'm going to put my garden in Sunday. And so, you know, we'll see that second day soreness, what it's like, and we'll go from there. But, yeah, that's something I'm definitely going to try. I like using that stuff, and it definitely seems not only to heal you but recover you. As you know, we talk about recovery here with you a lot. Oh, yeah. So, you know what? You know, before Logan and I got on here, you know, we hadn't talked in a while, and I was talking to him. I was like, you know, we were trying to figure out how long has it been since we've been in a commercial gym. And why did you leave the gym? And like my buddy said this week to me, you know, he goes, you know, I've had enough of the screaming and the slapping and the ammonia and all this stuff. And I was like, okay, my buddy Joe. And I was like, is it because now I've got you walking and thinking different? He's like, I don't know. He goes, but I'm enjoying stuff out in front of me. So here we go again. Logan and I talked about this a while ago about, you know, the favorite exercises. And I remember telling him, I wish I knew today what I knew when I was like 12, because if I knew I could walk with a big object out in front of me and gain, you can bet your ass I would have done it. But you know what? It's just the time. Now, today, we know that, so we can do whatever we want. Logan, what do you see with a lot of people now? I mean, you know, we know gyms aren't what they used to be, and we know a lot of people probably don't really care because they don't know better. But you got friends. I've got friends. What do you think it is mainly guys and girls like us that ends up driving us out of these places?
Well, I mean, like you, I can't even tell how many years ago it was when I was in like a commercial gym. I used to go to a 24-hour fitness, or it might have been called Nautilus at the time. It was that long ago. And because this was when I was young, just getting into training, bodybuilding was all I was exposed to, all I thought there was. So I was doing that and not really seeing much in the way of results. Shortly after that, then I found out about body weight training, how you could really do that in progressive ways. And I started training at home and, you know, didn't really look back because why would I travel somewhere to kind of do an inferior workout, you know, what I was doing at the time. And I'd say that's one huge thing about it, going to a gym versus having a home gym, if you have that. Like, everyone's busy these days, right?
Yeah.
You really need extra time to travel somewhere. So, I mean, of course, some people, you know, you don't have the home gym, or there's a gym you really like going to, by all means do that. But when in doubt, I'd say being able to at least get a workout at home is kind of essential. At least that gets rid of that one excuse, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know what? You know, like, I know in my situation, other people, as I told Logan before we came on, I used to go to a club long, long time ago. Well, we started out at the Y, and that place was insane. Now, today, if I was 11 years old and riding my bike there, we were right down to the next to the furnace. I don't think the furnace ever shut off, even in the summer. That place was the hottest place I've still to this day I've ever trained in. Now, last year I remember I had the thermometer on the garage. So my stuff where I got to work out with the power rack is right at the back. So that's going to be the hottest point of that garage. And I think it was 107 in there last year, and I thought, man, I was going to wilt. But I wouldn't relent, so we kept going. But to make a long story short, it was like everything. That place was super hardcore, a lot of homemade equipment. I don't know if some of the guys in there probably just got out of jail for all, you know. It was a rough crowd, man, and we used to, of course, be smartasses with them. And I can tell you a number of times, they didn't bloody us up, but they knocked our ass right to the floor and shit. They didn't care. But it's like any new kid coming in. You want to see who's going to do what. Eventually, we all became friends. They taught us a lot of shit. And we're talking guys that were like double my age at that time. But, you know, back in the day, I mean, all big, big shoulders, arms, all that stuff. You know, and like everything, that place ended up going quote-unquote modern. So, obviously, it was time to leave. You know, they weren't putting any more money into it for what little they did. And the area was getting kind of rough, and it was like, nah. So the next thing I know, it's like, you got to go up to the Steel Pier. And it was killer, dude. The original place was up in a place called British American Park. And we used to train on Sundays sometimes out on the loading dock, and it was sick. And it was a roughneck gym. I mean, anything with a bull with half his head cocked with an Olympic bar and plates hanging out, it's a badass joint, man. And he was a real bull. Even his anatomy was hanging, you know what I mean? So he was a bull, man. And they got sold. And so they moved it to a very big place, and it was called the 3000 Club. And it was the first incarnation of it. It was really, really good. All the original equipment was there. They bought some more. Gymnastics took about a third of this place, but it was an old aircraft hangar. It was a monster, man. I can't imagine what it cost if they even ran heat to heat that place, because it was all going out the ceiling, you know, the roof. Well, you know, we went there, great place, but now we got another guy coming in and buying it. And now it's changing a little bit. Not much yet, but by the time the third one came in, that's when we knew we were in big trouble. They threw the gymnasts out, which you knew right away they were stupid, because that was big money. And they were starting to crack down on, you know, the heavy lifts, the platforms, because they're trying to bring in, you know, a more socially acceptable group that they were very foolish about, because these people come and go. The lifters, and they had tons of them, and competitive lifters, they treated like crap, and we were the ones that really paid the bills, I'm sure, all the time. So a number of people are leaving. A lot of guys are starting their own place, and there were a couple other hardcore gyms around at the time. And it was down to probably, I don't know, maybe 25 of us, if that. And it got worse and worse, and the bars were locking on the ends. Nobody was taking care of anything. We were coming in there with like bars over our shoulder walking in. Well, then it got to the point where they were just busting our balls for everything. So one day, this guy, Jeff? No, it wasn't Jeff. Sean. He was a nationally ranked powerlifter. In fact, he's coming on the show. He's in the area and heard the show and liked it. He wants to come on. So Sean ended up getting in the fight with the owner, and one thing led to another, and then there were a lot of words flying from everybody, and threats happened. Well, it couldn't have been any more than 10 minutes, and the cops came, and there were a lot of them, and we knew every one of them, because most of the colony police worked out in that gym at one time. All of us were thrown out, done, finished, all right? So what do you do at that point? I have no equipment. You know, I've got an Olympic bar home, few weights, and that's it. So what do you – now you're in a dilemma. Well, now we start the gym in my backyard that's grown. You wouldn't even know it was the same thing, but I had to go right out. I ordered a York power rack, 1,000 pounds of steel, had the Olympic bar, and away I went. So the situation dictated to make a quick move, because there's nowhere else that I really wanted to go, and I thought it was time to get out anyways. You know, we were all into the dead stop rack training at that point. We were starting to do a lot of farmer's walks, and definitely my lifting was taking a twist and a turn. So that's what really manipulated me to get out. Besides that, I mean, when the cops come, I guess you don't have any choice at that point. So they booted us out, and to make a long story short, within a year, they closed. That was the end of them. So all's well that ends well. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, you talk about, you know, you and I both know from owning businesses here, you talk about the wrong way to treat people, man. I mean, no regard, no nothing. You know what I mean? And it was like No wonder why you finally went under. Now they were bought up from another place, but it's, I want to say, I don't know how much of a gym they got in there. I think they do a lot of, I think they got more gymnastics. Here's a note, too. Do you know on the other side, this place was so big, they had clay tennis courts. They would come down as far as New York City on a weekend to come up there and train. I mean, at one time, that was a money-making enterprise, man. And they and the last set of people ran that thing into the ground and went under. So, but, I mean, you've seen this. And you know, where do you think, I mean, do you think the market right now, are we going to see more gyms? Are we going to eventually see the disappearance of gyms? Or are they just going to be these, what the hell's the one here? God, I can't think of their name. It's the place that they don't put you down and they give you pizza. I can't, what the hell? Oh, I can't think of the name of that damn dump. But they got them all over the place. Is this where we're heading with them, or gyms like we'd be more accustomed to? Or are we just going to find those buried somewhere?
I think they're going to stick around to some degree. I mean, there's kind of different types of gym, right? I mean, there's like kettlebell devoted gyms. You got all sorts of CrossFits. You have different places. So it's kind of just sort of separation, and there'll always probably be some decent places somewhere. But I think an interesting question to ask, regardless of if you go to a gym, train at home, or anywhere else, but is that location, is that environment supporting your goals? Is that set up in the right way where it's going to help you to get the most out of yourself in your training? And
yep.
This isn't a question of yes or no, but different degrees of that, right? So even if you have a good place, is there something that could be done to make it even better? And I think this is a really important question to ask, because often people don't realize just how much the environment affects what they do, the performance they're going to get from themselves, their habits, that sort of thing. So this is a hugely important question.
No, I totally agree, because, look, environment is everything, and you and I come from a little bit different area. I mean, you know, if you're out lifting stones like we do, you're going to have a different mental set. Number one, they're not going to allow it. There's very few gyms that let you use stones. Now, there's one maybe local here, but they're nothing big. I mean, the only one that I've ever seen, and I don't profess to know every gym, obviously, is Epic Fitness out in Oregon, where Will Dinwiddie's on here. The inside of his gym is incredible looking. I mean, if there's one stone, there's 25, mm-hmm. right? And they're all lined up. Same thing with the sandbags. And he's got all the material there to lift it on any height you want. And, I mean, absolutely beautiful. Organized, clean. I mean, you go there and you're going to train your balls off. But that's kind of the exception, I believe. And I think you hit it just right in the beginning when you said, you know, time constraints are very, very pertinent with a lot of us right now, and they will be for probably the rest of our life. Like you said, do you really want to travel 25 minutes through the bullshit, and then you get in somewhere, and maybe you can't get to what you need to get, and everybody's jawing around and shit, and or do you want to stay home or set something up somewhere with a couple buddies and go for it like that? I'm going to choose the second, like you were talking about, because I could no more go in a gym now unless it was somebody I knew, like Will's place, all right, where I know I could go in and go bananas, man, and not worry about the police coming and say, you have to leave, sir. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. I know that I could be myself. And I think that's what this does more than anything. It gives you the freedom to develop your personality, to develop your physical skills much better. Because, you know, like last night, I mean, we haven't talked in a while. I've really changed a lot of things up, obviously, training to go away. I want to go away to three different places in the next 15, 18 months. And they're not in the United States anywhere. But John McKean, who's a big hero of mine, who wrote for Hard Gainer, and he's an all-around lifter, and he's just brutal still. I think he just turned – I think he's in his late 60s, and he's unbelievable. And I was telling him, you know, when we had a lot of the shoulder difficulties, and most of that's gone now. He goes – and at the time, this was probably about 2.5 months ago, he said, I got a lift for you. You got to do. And I'm everybody, I am going to film it. I promise. I got another thing today from Jeff King out in Canada. you know, he goes, I'm very interested in seeing you do that lift. I said, fine. So what it's called is a dead stop tri quad squat. So people are like, all right, what are you doing? Well, obviously I'm not using any arms to hold the bar because I want to keep that shoulder in real good shape. So basically you put your long rods in, get under it. You want to keep the bar as close to the back or front post as possible. You kind of want to skim it. So don't use anything that's got great knurling on it. I had an old circa, I think, 69 York bar that was kind of rubbed down from buying it used out of college. And it's awesome. But here's the trick. When you're not holding that thing with your hands, that bar tries to whip left and right on you. It will roll off your traps because nothing's there. So it's a whole coordination, a whole different skill level to do that. Now, last night I did it, and after last night I'm going to shorten it down and start doing some holds with it. I blew a 404 dead stop like that, like nothing last night. I mean, right now I feel like fucking electricity still. I mean, wicked good, all right? And it's a very interesting lift because, you know, everybody's always talking about midsection, core, whatever you want to phrase it. You talk about having some strength in the center of your body and your belly button there where it all is. I'm telling you, there's nothing like this lift. I can get my arm back no problem now. It was always the first couple sets which were a little tight. As much as I love those dead stops with the, you know, holding the buffalo bar, I like these better because I think it's more even of an older world lift, and so I'm sticking with them. And now starting, okay, what's today? Friday. I'll squat again next Wednesday. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go from parallel and put another set of rods 4 inches above it, and I'm going to start coming out obviously a little higher. Lock that thing in there and see what happens because it doesn't matter. Even when you complete the lift, you can't stand perfectly straight because anybody, if you're thinking right now, the bar is going to roll off your traps. There's nothing holding it. But let me tell you, Logan, you want to talk about power, man, generation. And here's the thing. If I came in your gym and did that, you'd throw me the fuck out.
Not my gym.
Not your gym, no. I'm just saying, brother. You know what I mean? If I went in, I thought of that dump. Planet Fitness is the name of it.
Yeah.
You know, if I walked in there and they even had a power rack, which I know they don't, it'd be like, sir, you're making too much noise and you're scratching the bar. You must leave. I'd be like, okay. You know what I mean? I'd give them probably a salute first and then walk the hell out, you know? And
well, they're doing you a favor because
yeah, they are. Yeah,
there
yeah.
Anyway.
and not only that, I don't want to scare anybody. Yeah. that's what it's all about. You know, we don't want anybody's feelings to get hurt here. But – do you see any other advantages? I mean, you know, I think this is a great topic, and I'm sure this is on the mind of a lot of our listeners, and a lot of them probably are like, I don't know what to do. I don't have a lot of money to lay out for equipment, and my thing would be right now is start looking for used equipment. I mean, you know, do you have a place to put in? Do you have a garage? Do you have a high enough ceiling in your basement to start putting stuff in? And you know, and you'd be surprised when you do this and you can find stuff, you start to accumulate a lot of stuff quickly.
Right.
You know, so what's your feeling on that?
Yeah, well, let me go back to when I left the commercial gym. You know, I was living with my mom at the time. I had my own bedroom in a like a duplex, right? So I'm the second floor, and like I said, I was doing mostly bodyweight stuff. So I between my desk and my bed, I had a little bit room. You know, I could do push-ups and squats and those sort of things. And I had a few kettlebells. I hung a chin-up bar in my room, and that's where I did the majority of my workouts for quite some time. You know, kicking up against the wall, doing handstands. So it doesn't matter how little space. I mean, how little equipment. Once again, if you do bodyweight stuff, if you do it at home, there's no excuses there. Yeah, sure, go ahead, get some weights, you know, find a place. As I've gone through time, you know, I'm not doing that. I have, like, a gym area. I have all kinds of equipment. I got plenty of stuff just for myself. I have different areas where I can do things. So, you know, start with where you're at, and if this is something that's really, like, a part of you and you want it to expand, then over time you're going to put things in motion to get more equipment, get more space for it, find the right kind of place for it. But no one really has the ideal place, or few people have. Right now, I'd say I actually don't have an ideal place to train because we kind of moved our building and thus my gym stuff. So I'm kind of between things, but, you know, I'm able to work with what I have, and that's not a problem. So, yeah, work towards that ideal, but start with whatever you have.
Yeah, and you know the thing is, you've got a lot of experience like myself, and you can take nothing and still make something out of it.
Absolutely. But
that's where, you know, where people are scratching their head right now when they listen to it and say, okay, these guys got a lot of experience, or they've had to move multiple times, or they've been booted out of places. And, you know, it's like anything. Look, like I said in the beginning here, I had nothing. I had a York bar and I don't know, maybe 225 for plates. That's not going to do a lot for a guy like me. So what do I got to do? The thing I wanted to stress with everybody, this is paramount, and everybody knows my feeling on power racks, and we'll go back to Logan on this. If you're going to train alone, please, and I'm saying this, please take every safety precaution you can, because, man, if you get caught under a bar or anything like that, a lot of people have died from that. You know, I mean, you get a bar slam across your throat, chances are you're going to die. Or what if you get caught with a big squat? What are you going to do? Dump it? Yeah, you might be able to dump it, but it might take an arm with it
right.
When you dump it, right? So, first thing I would tell you, if you got to break away, or you're thinking about it, or your gym's going, that's a big thing we haven't even said yet. I just thought of that. How many gyms have you gone? I've gone to two of them in my life. You go to open the door and there's a sign that basically, you know, that they're out of business, and the lawyer's looking at it when it says your money will be refunded, and you know it's not going to be. And the next thing you know, you're going to get a whole group together for litigation. And we'll get into that too. But if you're going to do what we were talking about and go on your own, or you're forced to, one of the first things I would tell you to buy, and it'll be a big investment, but it'll save your life, is get a power rack.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're safe. You're locked into something. You can't get hurt, not unless you don't set your pins correctly or you don't put your rods through. Then you can get killed. But I'm just saying, we're going to go with the idea that you're going to be very cautious and careful. And you know something? There's nothing wrong with that when we're talking weights, because let's face it, we all want to lift till we're 100 years old or more, and we want to be healthy. So don't take a chance like that. That would be the first thing I'd tell you. Obviously, go out and look on the internet for any used equipment. I mean, whether you want a 1-inch bar or an Olympic bar, there's a ton of stuff. Garage sales. I've bought plates all over the place. You know, you'll see stuff laying on the ground, and it'll be like, you might see 300 pounds of steel. I don't care what the name of it is. What do you want for it?
Mm-hmm.
$25. I'm like, you got it, buddy. I'm loading my truck right now, and it's like Christmas, all right? So the ability to get these things is good. And not only that, if you do, you know, if you work like Logan and I, where you have a business, you can't always go out at a certain time every day or night. Sometimes you might have to go a little earlier because you got something going on that evening, or vice versa. You have the ability to go out and train whenever you want. And I think that is magnificent, because if you look, I don't know if they still do it, but a lot of gyms at one time, when you paid a fee, you could only go certain days. Who would ever sign up for that bullshit? You know what I mean? It's like, I want to go out and lift, man. Like I've been doing now. All right. And I'm not going to get into a big thing, but I've gone back to doing the hand thigh deadlift with the 55-gallon barrels. All right. So, you know, so it's fun as hell, dude. I go out in the morning sometimes, might do a little bit. I've been doing a lot of stuff for the shoulder, which I think helps out like crazy. It's a combination of doing a barbell curl, and then you press the bar over your head with your hands facing the same way at you. Your fist would be looking at your face as you would with the curl. And then I'll go and maybe throw 220 in the barrel and do like 50 fucking reps with it, all right? Pull them out, go in the house, I'm done. Just to blow a little blood through, I got a trampoline that holds like 350 pounds. I go out and just bop on that thing, set my egg timer for like 7 minutes. I'm done for the day, you know, and then I'm ready to go lift. Like, I got to lift again Sunday night, all right? So I'm doing all these different things, and the reason why I'm doing them is it sets you up. It sets you up to be a better lifter. It cleans you up. And sometimes, you know, the next day, the second day, you feel like shit mentally, or you're tired out. Just little things like that can inspire you enough where, hey, maybe I want to come in and write something for the blog. And suddenly I'm charged again. So it affords you that. And here's something I want to tell you, and I'll shift right back to you. This is interesting, man. About a week and a half ago, I got to be very careful sometimes with the bench. It bothers my front delt on that side. So I haven't been doing that in a while. And I was looking at those barrels, and even though that Olympic bar is about, I don't know, maybe three quarters, if you want to call it, it's not lockout, but it's close. And I can put anything through that right up to a three-inch bar. And I said to myself, I wonder what would happen if I laid on my back and tried to bench those beasts, man. And I was like, you know what? Time to bench. And, of course, I'll tell everybody, you can only put a plate on the outside of the pipe with the collar, and that's it. The rest goes internally in these drums, and there's nothing holding that stuff straight, okay? That shit is moving all over on you. Well, I was like, you know, this is what I got thinking, Logan. Everybody's always preaching ligament, tendon, bone, muscle, and we know what all the holds do in the rack, and it's so efficient. But I got thinking, man, in my warped head, it was like, well, if I can do that and those barrels are shifting on me and I don't do anything crazy and hurt myself, can you imagine the development I'm going to have if I can stick with this? So I've been doing – I added that and that apparatus we made for the width of the power rack where I can put that in through – it goes through sleeves and locks. The rods go through the sleeves, locks in the back, and the centers all open up where I can press that any different levels. So I go from that to the 2-inch handle dumbbell. Last week I did 100 and I did – what I do, 300 with the barrels. I went back and forth for five rounds. I got to tell you, man, it looked like somebody just jacked me full of air. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, great. But I'll go back to you. But you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. You know, you get real creative. You start really going after and expressing what you really want to do. And that's why I think, you know, getting into your home gym is really the ticket.
Yeah. Well, just sort of different counterpoint to that, right? Right now, I don't have my power rack set up where I'm at, which is fine because that's not the main goal I'm focusing on. You know, I love doing the partials and lockouts, and that so much joy comes from lifting something in such a small range of motion, right? But, so I'm not really focused on that, and that's fine. So right now, as a squat, I've been doing like 84-pound weight vest, then
oh, yeah.
270-pound kettlebells because I don't really – I have a barbell here in weights, but, you know, just working with the kettlebells a bit more. So that it's more of a front squat than a back squat, not a huge amount of weight, but it is even more so than challenging the legs. That's like the ab and torso, just supporting that and then doing it a little bit higher reps. But that's kind of been my go-to squat exercise I've been working with lately, which is fine. So that's something I can do with – I guess less equipment, don't need the power rack, don't need the barbell,
right,
and don't need a lot of space for all that. So that's just something I've been working with. But, you know, I want to lift some barrels after hearing you talk.
it was a great idea, and I know that the old-timers used to do stuff like that. And basically what my buddy did, who was a welder, you know, he cut it all through. I think he uses Sawzall to get the holes and all that. And we took a 3.5-inch fat pipe that they would use on, like, racing cars for the exhaust. And he put that thing through, welded it perfectly. One end is very short. That molds right into the barrel. The other one comes out. And that's where the Olympic bar, whatever you're going to use, is going to come out that end a little bit more, obviously, on both ends. And that's where you can put, like, a 45-pound plate with a collar. And you load those beasts inside. And I'll tell you what, for anybody, I had a buddy of mine over here one night, and we were doing him because, you know, he's a good deadlifter. And I'll tell you what, it threw him off big time because you don't have – the weight is not distributed clean. I mean, that thing literally – you start getting them the 500, 600, 700-pound mark with that, that's when that thing tries to walk you. And by that, I mean you could go left or right with that thing. So the stability factor – and not only that, Logan, you know what I got? You know what I felt more than anything with that thing? You feel everything from head to toe. I felt it through the feet more than anything because the feet are like trying to keep you glued to the ground. And let's face it, when something's trying to pull you and walk you and move you, you know, there's another strengthening factor because the feet are so vital to everything you do. And I think it's a very underrated thing because we don't talk about the feet. You know, it's always like the ankles or the Achilles tendons that blow on people and shit like that. I'm telling you right now, take good care of your feet and address that stuff because it's vital. But yeah, that you know, and I'll hit it again. See, what you're doing, obviously, right now, you're just not set up the way you want. But being able to do what you're doing, you're training very efficient. Mm-hmm. You don't have a lot of equipment. You've got what you need to do what you need to do. Most people have no friggin' clue to what the hell that even means. So, you know, when you're not going in and relying on somebody to, you know, furnish the weight, the bench, and all that bullshit, you got to get kind of smart, and obviously you got to have a little bit of change in your pocket to do this. But I think you come to a point like we do some dangerous things and things that, let's face it, most gyms are not going to let you do. Liability. If I walk in with a loaded 200, 250 pound hoose of steel stone, they're going to walk me right back out of the gym. Okay, so. This is what you got to look at down the road. What do you want to do? Where do you want to get? Who do you want to surround yourself with? And how hard do you want to bust your ass? If you want to start lifting stones, you're not going to a commercial gym. Forget about it. If you want to start getting creative, like start building equipment, what are you going to do? Bring your torches, your acetylene, and walk in there with steel and build something? That ain't happening, man, all right? So what I'm saying to you is – Just get started. You know, go out, look for a used power rack. I'm sure you can find them all over because – or you go to some of these gyms that they aren't even using them, probably tossed in a corner. Get something like that, you know, whether you put it outside. Hey, for this mat, for wherever you are, put it outside. Build a platform and lag it right into whatever you are. And do lag them. Don't let them sit there and bounce all over the place. You don't want to mess around with that. You get that, go out and spend the money on a good bar. Whatever you prefer, you know, whatever you prefer, power bar, York Olympic, you know, Alico if you want to really spend some money, thick bars, et cetera, go to town. You'd be surprised. 1,000 pounds, maybe a couple good bars, and a good power rack that's lagged in, you got yourself a winner. You want to go out and buy kettlebells, sandbags, things that don't cost a lot of money and really, really deliver, there you go. But you know what happens? You're going to love training more and more, and you're going to become better and better. Go ahead, Logan. Take it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have sort of the ideal gym, what I'd like to have set up in my home down the line. And like I said, I'm kind of working towards that. Eventually, I want to get there, and that'll be great because then I'll have everything set up, everything in the place that's going to be basically every tool I could possibly want to have, more or less, you know. Ideas can come instantly, and then you don't have something you want to have and all that, but basically just about everything. So working towards that, and that'll be ideal. And I think by having that, yes, I think I'll get more out of my training because I'll have so much enjoyment just by having that ideal setup. But like I said, there's no excuses. So whatever you have, you can certainly work with and make a hell of a lot of progress with.
Oh yeah. And the thing about it is, I think you're going to find a whole new enjoyment in what you do. And, you know, let's face it, I'll admit it. I was getting extremely stale in these gyms. Something changes when you start dabbling into like power rack training. We'll just use that because I think a lot of people can identify with that. Obviously, that's not something you see in many gyms anymore. Let's be honest. Those days are probably done in most commercial establishments. And, I'll just give me for instance. I wasn't training with my buddies anymore due to a big falling out. That was an ugly thing. Obviously, I had to make things happen for me, put the gym here. Build it. You know, you look at it today, and it's like, holy shit. I mean, it looks like something that went from, you know, a peanut now to a friggin' balloon, a hot air balloon. I mean, it is just absolutely phenomenal what we've done here. But, you know, you start change. You know, if you're really interested in becoming a real good lifter, things are going to change in your life. You're going to want to do different things, and you're going to have to do them somewhere that is not going to be in a commercial atmosphere. You're not going to have the ability to have a lot of ingenuity because obviously we just said that we were laughing. You're going to have lawyers and they're going to basically boot you out. You don't fit into the program. And that's what they said to us when they threw us out and we were getting warnings all the time. They were getting constant complaints that we were scaring the shit out of people. All right. Now, Please, I mean, let's lighten up there, because the problem is now, and when we've talked about these testosterone shows with Logan and Dr. Wong, is, you know, most people have very low T, especially the males. They see guys all with a lot of camaraderie, you know, really screaming at each other, you know, grabbing each other, the whole deal. And it's like, what the hell planet are these guys from? Then you got these women in there that are as bad or worse that, I mean, who gives a shit what you're doing? You know, we're over on the other side of the gym. We're not in, like, with the machine group and everything. But it got to that point where warning after warning after warning, it's like, you know, what the hell's the point of going in there anymore? It's getting worse and worse. And, you know, I think the whole deal with them anyways, when all this started, the handwriting was on the wall. They wanted our ass out of there. They just didn't know how to do it without having some type of probably fisticuffs or something. So, you know what? They did me a favor at the time. It was like, oh, boy, what am I going to do? But, you know, there's no way I could have continued on what I wanted to do, because it wasn't there anymore. It was finished. So they did me a favor, and I'm glad they did, because it was just not going to work anymore. And to be honest with you, I think most people that are going to listen to this show have either faced this dilemma or are going to face it. And right now we're going to give you what you need to do, because you need right now, even if you have not gotten dumped out of there, get the hell out. Get out now. Start buying equipment. Start assembling stuff. It's just like I tell everybody that wants to be an entrepreneur. I get people asking me, how do I start a blog? How do I, you know, register the name of the company? How do I get into social media? This is the first thing I tell them. Well, make sure it's your passion, number one. But secondly, if you still have a job, start putting everything together while you got money coming in every week or every 2 weeks, whatever it is. Same thing with the gym. If you know you're going to fade out, if you know the place is going to change hands again, if you know you're not going to be welcome in there, start right now the transition. Because if you don't, you're going to be like me, where you get caught and you're going to be like, okay, what am I going to have to do? Well, I had to get a power rack as fast as I could. I got a York power rack, brand new one. Got a brand new set of, you know, I got bumpers and other plates. I was lucky. And I was back in business within like 2 weeks. And it didn't hurt to take like 10 days off anyways. We built the platform, lagged it in. I was training the next night. So bang. So what I would say to anybody, the best thing to do is make the move before the move is made on you. Go ahead, Logan.
Yeah, and that's not to say there aren't some great places. Actually,
exactly.
Nearby me, there's a place called Santa Cruz Strength. If I went to a gym in this town, that's the place I would go, and I have gone there before. That's like where I've done a strongman competition and a grip competition, because they have strongman stuff, grip stuff, sorts of yep. Olympic lifting stuff. I mean, they are a good, solid gym that I would definitely train at. And I've been thinking about, after I achieve this kettlebell snatch goal, part of me wants to devote some time to Olympic lifting, because of all the different facets of physical culture, that's like the one I have the least amount of experience in. And so I think that'd be kind of fun and interesting, and I'd learn a lot by, you know, really devoting time to the technique in that and working at it for a little while. So in doing so, I've thought about going to this gym, because they have the equipment, you know, the bumper plates, they have the lifting platforms, as well as coaching, which would be essential in getting started with that. So if you can find a gym like that, that's awesome. Go for it, and, you know, that'll save you having to buy tens of thousands of dollars worth of equipment for an equally decked out home spot. So by all means, look around. I'd say in a lot of places there probably are some hidden gems. You got to be willing to look for them.
And that's the thing. I mean, you're going to a place that's very established with things. I mean, see, what you've got in your backfield is this, though. You've got a lot of experience in a lot of different things. You're going to walk in, even though maybe you haven't done a lot of Olympic lifting, and now you're going to be doing technique work, and you're going to be working with coaches there and everything. It's only going to enhance what you do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as you said before, there are probably some good gyms. I totally agree with you, but it's like a needle in the haystack, man. You're going to have to look and look and look. And I think that's good. I think it's good to go places, new places, and maybe get a workout in or a couple workouts in. There's nothing wrong with that. It's very refreshing, and it breaks up, if you're a little bored where you are or what you're doing. You know, things like that can kind of get you motivated again and thinking, you know, in the right way. But if you got to go and stay at your house, I know in my case, it was the best move. I had no choice, all right, but it was the best move I ever made. I've grown here in so many different ways, and like I said before, it's nice to have the freedom to train when you want to train. You know, like one night I didn't realize I had a late podcast at 6 o'clock. I didn't get off till almost 7:30. I was so charged up the whole time we were talking. You know, I went, put my gear on. I was out by about 8:20, trained till about 9:45, and I was happy as hell. Because if I had to drive, like you said, say I had to drive 25 minutes to the gym, and say they were open 24 hours like where you used to go, do you think I would have gotten the car? Hell no, man. You know what I would have done? I would have taken a shower and went to bed. That's, you know, so I always say, when you miss a workout or you don't give everything you got, you know, the old saying is you never get it back. Mm-hmm. All right. So, you know, when you know, especially you writing books on the whole mental images and the things that you advise to incorporate into your mind and your training, it's very beneficial to think on those lines. You know, I'm a big believer, and I'll send it right back to you. I'm more of a big believer now than ever that when you approach something like your weightlifting or your training that night or 2 days from now and all this stuff, I believe more than ever, you know, your thoughts always are going to dictate quite a bit of what's going to happen to you. But I think when you walk into a situation like when I told you, I don't know if I said it on the air or off the air. Yeah, I did say it on the air. You know, last night's session with that 404. Yeah, is that the biggest lift I'm ever going to do with it? No. But I was trying to think of the word, and I don't know what it is. Maybe you would know a term for it. But there's certain things you do that it might not be the biggest lift, but it has kind of an emotional attachment to whatever was going on last night with me. And it's like I'm carrying this thing around with me right now, and it almost feels like I've got a buzz right now. Hmm. You know, literally – where I'm like, you know what, Sunday night, man, you know, we got, and you'll love it. I wish you lived close for me, dude. We got hand thigh deadlifts with the 55s that night, and we got bench presses with it. And we've got I'll go up to like probably a 110, 115, 2-inch dumbbell, the press to go back and forth. That's my workout plus neck, and, you know, I'll do something with a little bit of grip one way or the other, you know. I don't know. You know, when you can walk into your next lift, your next workout with that strange buzz in your head or your body where, you know, it wasn't the heaviest lift I ever did, but it did something to me. It touched me some way that, man, I'm carrying the same thing with me. Well, how are you going to go in and fail, man? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you're going to walk in there, and regardless what you use, you're going to be attacking everything and saying, you know what? And this is what I try to tell people. You're building every time when you're thinking that way, when you're accomplishing stuff. And if you don't go bananas with your ideas and keep going and not fail and keep building and building, those goals you want to meet are going to happen. Mm-hmm. And they're going to happen a lot more quicker than trying to take the whole world on and, you know, maybe you get two or three workouts. The next thing you're going to get the dreaded word overtrained. I'd much rather undertrain now than overtrain. And, you know, there's going to be times I go out there and put it right to the floor. I can do that, but I'm not going to be able to do that for, like, multiple workouts, or I'm going to have the same issue. I don't deload anymore. I take time off now.
Hmm.
No more deloading. No more. I'll take 7 to 10 days off. Believe me, it doesn't hurt you at all. So go ahead, Logan. You know, whatever you got left, hit it.
Yeah, I'd say just one final note on that, like, yep. What we've been talking about, the environment, the gym you train at home, like that is going to drive your thoughts to some degree. You know, we often think that we're in charge of our thoughts, but you know, there are the environment plays a huge role in that. I'll just give an example, right? If you have a row of dumbbells, right? If that goes up to 150 pounds, you know, you're going to think of that as the top end of strength and what I can do with that. If those dumbbells stop at 80 pounds, then, you know, you're going to think that's like real badass to be able to lift those. So
sure.
Just by the range that is available, that is going to affect your thoughts, your beliefs, what you see other people do with them, that is yep. going to affect it. That's like a subtle subconscious cue. So, yeah, your environment, the gym you train at or home or whatever, is going to play into that. So that, you know, beyond just having the tools and the space to do what you want to do, just having it, the space that gives you the juice you were talking about, the motivation, yeah. that energy yep. that you need, is going to be an equally, if not even more important part of the equation.
Absolutely. Logan, you got anything else, brother?
Yeah, I think that's good for the subject. Okay. Just keep going, okay. but I think that wraps it up.
No, I think it was a real pertinent thing, because that's something I've never discussed that with anybody. It was just, you know, Joey the other day saying that, and I thought it would be a hell of a subject, because I know I can't believe anybody that listens to this hasn't gone through this. But, you know, if you want to summarize anything, give out all your information. Let me give mine. If you'd hang on the line a minute, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you go check out legendarystrength.com, you'll see all kinds of home workout and garage workout information yeah. there, and videos and yep. all kinds of stuff outside in my yards and different stuff like that. Then check out supermanherbs.com, all kinds of herbal supplements that can improve your workout performance and recovery and hormones and much more beyond that.
Absolutely. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. Also, to Athlete's Choice with our good friend Steven Santangelo, Primal Creations at AOL.com. Facebook, STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO, period, 75. Also, too, don't forget, go out to AtomicAthletic.com. The Bull Moose Bar, regularly over, what is it, $329. It's on sale right now for $269. This is a revolving 2-inch bar. I've got one here at the house. I got to open it up. I'm going to open it up this weekend and use it for the first time. It's approximately 84 7/16 in length, and it weighs 58 pounds. So this thing's a beast, man. Go out to AtomicAthletic.com. Order one up. Tell Roger that Motivation Muscle sent you. Also, too, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. This is a free ebook. Go out to FiorellaBarbellCo.com. As we say, you know, we just talked about something that I've never heard anybody even talk about. What happens when you get booted out of a gym, or the gym goes out of business, or it just doesn't work for you anymore? The atmosphere is just turned into shit, and it's time to go. Well, you got some answers here, and if you need anything else, you can contact me at FiorellaBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Don't forget, too, strength times power equals success. The winner's circle, those are the two biggest products to date, and on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. And FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've got, and I thank everybody for that. If there's a show you'd like Logan and I to do, FiorellaBarbell@NICAP.R.com. And I'll leave you with these 5 things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to lend words of wisdom, you know, inspiration, all these important things we talked about today. I mean, you know, we gave you a ton of information, and you can really act upon it. So, you know, think about all those things, and don't be afraid to help people, man. There's a lot of people that just, they're not sure, you know what I mean? Just like what we talked about today. So, you know, sit out there, and if they ask you, at least give them a decent answer. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello or give somebody a smile. That might be all they get for the day. If you're going to go out and lift, crush it, bend it, press it, pull it. I don't care. And if you're going to lift stones, smash them right into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Stone says, the crusher in blood red, domination. We are domination. We don't follow the path. We clear cut it. And as I say on everything I write now, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Do not step around it. You know, as I say, dominate everything you do, obliterate the goals, get there. And if you don't get it that night, put a king-size dent in whatever you do, and you'll get it the next time. That's what it's all about, obviously. No one will ever clip our balls, and as Russell Fur says, who listened to us from day one and who's been a guest on Eminem, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping through my speakers. I can't wait 30 years from now when we're saying this, because we'll all probably be 60s, 70s. I hope we got 80, 90, 100s, 110s that have been sticking with us all this time. Thanks, Russell. We'll say that to the very day we sign off. Also, too, You know, be a steward of strength. Obviously, no one's going to clip our balls. Don't stand on the side of the road and tell 100 of your friends, because we're coming for you anyways. Logan, thanks for coming back. It was a great show. Great to talk to you again, and we'll have you on next month, sir.
Absolutely.
So for Logan Christopher, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. As I said, we will have Logan on next month. And have a great weekend. And as I always say, you know, go out and do something. Don't stand around, man, and wait. There's plenty of people out there need help, and go out and work your ass off. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend and be safe.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.